Our first storyteller is E.J. David. He is the husband of a colleague and friend of mine, and somebody that we have had in mind for this show since we very first dreamed up the theme. He's quite impressive and a professor that I think you will remember. He's just written a book, and I have to say that when I looked it up to be sure that we had correctly written the title, Filipino-American Postcolonial Psychology, because of the dash and the slash, I didn't understand, so I double-checked, and I learned that it's like the most important work of its time and that we've been waiting for it as a culture, which is pretty cool. That's what the book review said. So here he is.
One of my earliest childhood memories growing up in the Philippines goes back to when I was about 5, 6 years old. Back then, I really loved G.I. Joe toys. And so every month, my dad would send money back home to the Philippines. He was working in the United States by this time. He would send my mom and me money every month. And every time we received that monthly allowance, my mom would take me to a local toy store to buy me a G.I. Joe action figure. So we did this for many, many months, and before I knew it, I had over 60 G.I. Joe action figures accumulated. What I remember most out of this experience, though, was that every time we would go to the toy store, my mom would always try to bargain for a lower selling price. And in her effort to do that, she always asked the store clerk, "Are you sure these are original? Are you sure these aren't locally made?" And to this, the store clerk always said, "Yes, ma'am, they are made in the USA." The message I received was that anything that was made in the USA was better than anything made in the Philippines. Fast forward to when I was around 10, 11 years old, and I developed my first crush ever to this neighbor girl. I shared the secret to my older sister, and she gave me advice. And she said, in order for you to attract her, you need to stay away from the sun so that you won't get too dark. She also told me to start using the bleach and other skin whitening products that she kept in our bathroom medicine cabinet so that I will become more desirable. The message that I received was that in order for me to become attractive and desirable, I needed to shed my Filipino brown skin, is that anything that is lighter skinned is more attractive than myself. Fast forward to when I was around 14, 15 years old, as a newly arrived immigrant to the United States. My cousins, my friends, a whole bunch of other people, including other Filipinos, made fun of the way I dressed, made fun of my mannerisms, made fun of my values, made fun of my accent, because I spoke English with a very thick Filipino accent. You know what that sounds like, right? You go to the airport, you'll hear it, or the hospital. Okay, I was mixing up my P's and my F's because, you know, in the Filipino language, we don't have the F sound. You know, like if you're in the hospital and you wanted to get to the fourth floor, ended up in the fifth floor by accident, somebody might tell you, "Excuse me, you're on the pit floor, you want the port floor, that's one floor down further." Okay, that's how I spoke. And people laughed like you guys just did. Okay. These experiences made such an impact on me, though, that I started asking myself, was I born to have these kinds of attitudes about my roots? Were other Filipinos born to have these kinds of self-denigrating attitudes about their roots? Okay, and so I was searching for answers and answers and answers until one day I realized something. Fast forward to when I was 19 years old and I was a broke college student. I was so broke that I would, you know, dig underneath the sofa cushions for any change that I could find. And then one day, I saw in the newspaper there was an ad, okay, for a logo design contest for this new dance studio, okay? And so I figured, hey, you know, I might as well go for it. At that time, I was a fine arts major, and I liked drawing and being creative. And so I left my college roommate in our living room, went into my bedroom, locked myself to go to work and come up with a winning design, okay? So for about 2 hours, I was in my room working away. My college roommate was in our living room watching a movie, you know, I don't know what he's watching, but movies that male college students like to watch, I guess, okay? And then after 2 hours, I came out, and I was really proud of what I had, okay? And I was like, hey, dude, I think I got a winner. shooting this. Okay? Right, sure. Yeah, yeah. Okay? He looked at me and he's like, dude, you can't turn that in. And I was like, why? Okay? And he said, that's X-rated. Now, that particular experience taught me that our experience have a lot to do with how we perceive things around us. Okay? And that's when I realized that Filipinos weren't born to have those attitudes about their heritage. They were taught that through about 500 years of colonialism and oppression. And that's why I've dedicated my life to understanding and addressing how people and how people's influences and experience, I mean, people's experiences influence how we regard our roots. How do we address it? Fast forward to when I was about 27 years old, which was about 4 years ago. I was walking by a lake with a Lakota elder who I consider my mentor. And there were some wild ducks flying, playing, swimming, eating on the lake. And he started to make these fake duck calls, these duck sounds. I can't even do it, right? But he started to call the ducks to come closer to us. Well, the wild ducks ignored him. Like, they didn't even budge. They just kept doing whatever they were doing. And I said, huh, it's pretty cool how those wild ducks can tell between a real duck call and a fake one. And he said, well, they're wild, not stupid. And I think that right there sums up, I think, a lot of the experiences of different groups around the world. Different indigenous groups around the world who develop their own worldviews, value systems, behaviors, and traditions as inspired by their environment. And that even though they may be different from groups who may try to dominate them and oppress them and colonize them, it doesn't mean that they are less valid or less legitimate, or it doesn't mean that they are inferior. Okay? I think about these things now because, you know, as a Filipino-American man, with an Athabascan Indian, beautiful Athabascan Indian woman for a wife, with a Filibascan son and daughter. Okay? My children's lives are going to be influenced by their colonized past. It will be influenced by their experiences in this world, stereotypes, discrimination, racism, biases, whatever else. Okay? I want my children to realize that it doesn't matter how different they may be, their Filipino identity, their American identity, their Athabascan identity, doesn't matter how different they may be, but they are all equally valuable and equally just as important. Thank you very much.